Before I begin the meditation, I just want to offer our thanks on behalf of the congregation to the children and the teachers who presented the Christmas story once again. I think it's always a highlight to hear the Christmas story reenacted, especially when it's done by children. So thank you. A lot of preachers begin their sermon with a liturgical greeting. Grace and peace is yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the congregation responds, Amen. Or others might begin with words from Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Or still others might open with the peace of God be with you, and the congregation responds, and also with you. John the Baptist has a different idea. You snakes, who warned you from the wrath to come? Bear fruits that befit repentance. What are you doing here at the river? Do you think a little water is going to clean you and save you from God's judgment? And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as your ancestor. Abraham has a lot of children. What counts is the kind of life you live. Now, I'm not sure that I agree with John's homiletical approach. This is not exactly the kind of message we like to hear on this season before Christmas Day. But at least John's congregation knows where their preacher stands. In fact, the people respond to John's bombastic preaching in quite a positive way. They start asking, then what shall we do? Even the tax collectors came and asked, what shall we do? And then the soldiers came and asked, what shall we do? Evidently, John's message had gotten through to them. As we listen to John's message today, might we also ask, what shall we do? What shall we do to prepare for the coming of the Messiah? What are the fruits of repentance in our lives? John's answer to the question was surprisingly down to earth and simple. He didn't advise people to join him out in the desert to live an austere life of prayer and meditation. He didn't tell the workers, the tax collectors, the carpenters, the bakers to organize a social service agency through which they might provide some aid for the needy. He didn't tell the soldiers to go out and start a revolution and lead a political movement against a corrupt government. Basically, John told the people who came to him to go back and live their regular lives, their normal activities, their same vocations, and do what they've been doing, but do it better. Do it more honestly. Do it as an act of service to others and to God. He said, a lot of you folks have two coats. You can't wear two coats at the same time, so give one to someone who has none. And when you have extra food, don't let it spoil in your cupboard, but share it with someone who is hungry. Maybe you shouldn't be eating so much anyway. And you tax collectors, don't be lining your pockets. Collect only the amount of money that the law requires. Be satisfied with a little less income, honestly earned. And you soldiers, don't use your uniform or your authority to shake people down and take bribes. You're in the business of protecting others. So be satisfied with your rations. That, John says, is what repentance looks like. Were you looking for something really spiritual? Something bigger? Something harder to do? John sends the people back home not to change the world on their own, but to be filled with the expectation that God was coming to change their lives and renew the world. And then to begin acting in the way that people should in God's kingdom, where God reigns. Now, some people wondered whether John was the Messiah. But John was very clear that he wasn't. He was only there to prepare the way for what God was going to do. Once again, we await the Savior's coming. We're excited to celebrate his birth, but also anticipating his return and his eternal reign upon the earth. Like those people who listened to John the Baptist, we await the really big things that God is expected to do. To subdue the principalities and the powers, to claim victory over evil and death, to rule the nations. With what transpired in Newtown, Connecticut this past week, 20 children and 8 adults murdered, do we not plead with God and ask when this new age of love and peace will come? But in the meantime, John reminds us that the little things we do in our little corner of the universe are important too. Luke sums up John's ministry in this way in verse 18. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Yes, he starts out by calling them a brood of snakes, but his message ends up as good news. The promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ that he will change the world. But it begins right here with you and me in our everyday lives as we strive to live a little better. Now, I wouldn't want to send you away today with the impression that we can earn our way into the kingdom of heaven just by being a little nicer. A preacher by the name of Tom Long tells a story about a church in Atlanta, Georgia. A dinner was held for a new members class, and the pastor had everyone around the table at the dinner introduce themselves and share a little something about why they were joining the church. Some noted the good children's programs that gave the kids something to do after school or a few weeks during the summer. Some noted the convenient location of the church. It was easy to get there. There was always plenty of parking. Still others appreciated the organist and the choir. And finally, it came around to a man who told the group that for many years he drank too much and got addicted to drugs. But that through the church, he found the power of Jesus to return his life to God, to turn his life around. And that's why he was becoming a member of the church. As the preacher tells the story, someone from the group came up to him later and said with a bit of embarrassment, "We came for the good parking. He came for salvation." It's easy to forget that this is the core of our faith. It is the mission of the church to share the gospel. God's salvation reaches down into our ordinary lives and transforms us, not so much to make us superstars of the faith or to change the world on our own, but by giving our extra coat or sharing our food with the hungry, we are beginning to show what the good news is all about. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.